The fourth perek has various halachas as it relates to the bechor. Mishnah Aleph starts out with the concept that when the bechor, which has to be given to the kohen, it shouldn't be given right after birth because there's going to be a lot of work for the kohen growing that bechor, raising that bechor. Accordingly, it has to be raised by the Yisrael for a certain amount of time. Mishnah Aleph says as follows: Hakama Yisrael chayavim litapel bebechor. For how long did the Yisrael have to raise that animal, the bechor, before giving it to the kohen? So we're going to divide up according to the Tanakh. Also, the next shita between a behema daka and a behema gasa. A behema daka, that's a smaller animal, for example, a sheep or a goat, at shloshim yom, 30 days, has to be raised by the Yisrael, and then it can be given to the kohen. That's based on a pasuk. Uvagasa, and when it's a larger animal like a cow, chamishim yom, takes longer, 50 days. That's the shita of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi omer, bedaka shlosha chodashim. Rabbi Yossi agrees when it comes to a gasa that it has to be 30 days, but he extends the daka, the smaller one, the smaller one is more fragile, it takes more care. Accordingly, it has to be tended to by the Yisrael for 3 months before handing it over to the Kohen. What's going to happen if the Kohen says, give it to me even earlier than the time periods listed in the Reisha? Amar lo HaKohen besoch zman zeh, tenei uli, give it to me please before these time periods. Hareze lo yitnu lo, it's not permitted to give it to him. Why is that the case? So it goes as follows. There's a concern that people are going to be viewing it as this Yisrael is agreeing to give it to that Kohen early to save the Yisrael from having to take care of that animal. The Yisrael, he doesn't want to really take care of that animal for the amount of time, for the 30 days or the 50 days or the 90 days. So he agrees to give it to this specific coin if this coin agreed to take it earlier. So that's what it looks like. Accordingly, it can't be given earlier than the time periods listed in the Reisha. However, we have two exceptions to that it can be given earlier. Im haya balmum, if this bechor is a balmum, it has a defect in it, so it cannot be brought as a korban anyway. Amar lo tenli shayochlenu mutar. If the kohen then comes and says it's a balmum because I want to eat it, once a bechor is a balmum, he's permitted to eat it immediately, and accordingly, it's permitted to give it to him earlier than the time periods listed in the Reisha. And the second exception, Chulurozu b'shas hamikdash, at the time that we have a base of mikdash, and it's not a balmum, im hayatamim, it was not blemished, he can bring it immediately as a korban. Accordingly, Amar lo tenli shakriven, if the kohen says to the Yisrael, give it to me early so I can bring it as a korban mutter, it's permitted to give it to him early. So bottom line here is the time periods that we listed in the Reisha applies to when we don't have a base of mikdash to an unblemished bechor. In those situations, because we don't have a base of mikdash, it can't be brought earlier as a korban, and also it doesn't have a mum, so it can't be eaten earlier. Those are the time periods that the Yisrael is required to raise the bechor before giving it to the Kohen. HaBechor ne'echal shana b'shana. The Bechor has to be eaten within its first year of life. Bein tamim bein balmum, whether it is a blemished or not blemished, not blemished or blemished. Shene'emar lifnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu shana b'shana. As the pasuk says, talking about the Bechor, it should be eaten within the first year. Mishnah Beis, nolad lo mum b'toch shnaso, if there is a mum that happened within the first year. So now we're talking about a blend. We talked about in the prior Mishnah when you have a Bechor that is tamim, or we have a requirement, we have talked about when it has a balmum, but what happens when it started out not having a blemish, and in the middle of that year, it received a blemish? So what happens in that situation? So nolad lo mum besoch shna. So within the year, he got a mum. Muta le kaimo shnemasar chodesh. You can keep it around for up to 12 months from when it was born, but it has to be eaten by then. La'achar shna. So what happens if it doesn't have a mum? So there's nothing you can do with it. You have to wait until it does have a mum at a time that we don't have a beis hamikdash. If it's a time that we have a beis hamikdash, it's brought within that year as a korban. But if it's a time when we don't have the beis hamikdash, you're just waiting for it's a mum, it's after that year, the achar shnaso, even during the 12th month, eino rasha l'kaimo ela ad shloshim yom, you're only allowed to wait up until 30 days. In other words, it has to be eaten within 30 days of when the mum is received. Mishnah Gimel, hashochet habechor umares mumo. Typically, when somebody has a mum on his bechor, and he thinks that it's a mum kavua, so it cannot be brought as a korban, that it can be eaten immediately by the kohen, you have to show it to a mumcha, someone who's an expert in knowing what is a permanent blend. blemish and what is not. And you have to do that before you do the shechita. However, what happens if somebody shechts the animal first and only thereafter sows that animal where the blemish is to the Kohen to get to the mumka, to the expert to get his psak? Is this a mumka avua that invalidates this bechor from being brought as a korban? Hashochet ha-bechor umares mumo. So somebody did shechita first, and thereafterward, it's the Kohen that did the shechita, and thereafterward he went to the mumcha to show him the mum. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that as long as the expert decides that it's a mum kavur, permanent blemish, the Kohen is permitted to eat it. Rabbi Meir Omer Hoy of Anishchat Shalop him mumcha aser, because the shechita was done before having the psak of the mumcha, it is no longer permitted for the Kohen to eat that bechor. Mishnah Dalim, Misha Eino Mumcha, somebody who is not an expert. And nonetheless, despite not being an expert as to deciding whether a mum is a mum kavua or not, varasa bechor, and he made a psak, and he says this mum that this bechor has is a mum kavua, and it's now invalidated from being brought as a korban, or at the time that we don't have a base of mikdash, you don't have to wait around anymore, you can eat it now. Benishchat al piv, and the shechita was done based on the psak of this non-expert, hareza yikaver, because the psak is an invalid, the meat is asur bahana and has to be buried via shalami beso, and that non-mumcha that gave the psak, he is going to have to pay part of the cost. We're not going to get into the discussion of how much of it, but the Gemara discusses how much of it he's going to have to pay in order to make good on having made a psak that he shouldn't have made. Dan es adin. And if we have somebody who judges a judgment, and we're talking now about somebody who did not have permission to act as a judge, and he made a mistake in his judgment. Zika sachayev, he exempted the person who is really obligated to pay, or the reverse, v'chiyev esazakai, or he obligated to somebody to pay that was not obligated to pay. Dime asatahor, he made something tami that was tahor, v'tiyer asatami, or the reverse, masha asai asoi, his ruling stands. However, he made a wrong psak, and he's not somebody who had permission to be making a psak, v'yishalami beis, so he's going to have to pay the damages. And on the other hand, if we have somebody who is a mumcha for Beis Din, he has permission, this is the Bartun Rosh Hashanatal Rishus Mi Beis Din, has permission from the Beis Din to be paskening. He has the proper permission to be paskening in a certain area of halacha, and nonetheless he made a mistake in that situation, Potter Milasham, he's not going to have to pay the damages when he makes such a mistake. Maaseh, Bipara Shanitla Emshal. There was a certain occurrence that happened that there was a parah, there was a cow, and its womb had been removed. Ve'achila Rabbi Tarfon the Klavim. So Rabbi Tarfon paskin that it is a treifa, and a treifa cannot be eaten. So he paskin it has to be fed to the dogs. It can't be eaten by people. And that was a mistake, as we'll see shortly, about Masa lifnei Chachamim v'tiruah. Chachamim, this question was brought in front of Chachamim, and they said it's mutter. That's not considered a treifa. It's considered an animal that can't give birth, but it's not a treifa. It can be eaten by people. She'amar todas harofa, and Chachamim brought a proof. We put in the shin, she'amar todas harofa, ein para v'chazira yotzim Alexandria, achem chotchim et ha'emshela. And he brought an example from Alexandria in Egypt that they had the best cows and they had the best pigs there. And they were very strict when they used to sell them abroad because they had such good quality. People would come. There was a lot of demand for it, but they didn't want people replicating their quality. So they would remove the womb from the female cows and the female pigs before selling them. So obviously these are animals that are not treifas. They can continue living without their wombs, simply that they can't reproduce. They didn't want it to reproduce, but it's not a treifa. So that was the proof for Chachamim, that Rabbi Tarfon, who said it's a treifa when you don't have the womb, he made a mistake. I'm a Rabbi Tarfon. So now Rabbi Tarfon sees he made a mistake. He says, Halcha Chamorcha Tarfon. He says about himself, I just lost my donkey. In other words, I'm going to have to pay. He was of the belief that because he made a mistake, he's going to have to come out of pocket and pay the damages. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responds to him, Rabbi Tarfon, Paturata, you don't have to pay. Sha'atam Mumcha LeBeistin, you are a person who has Rishus to judge. You have permission to judge from Beistin, so you are considered a Mumcha, an expert. V'chol HaMumcha LeBeistin Patum L'Sham, and somebody who is a Mumcha, who has permission to judge, when they make a mistake, they don't have to pay. It's only a person who doesn't have permission, who is not a mumcha, that has to come out of pocket and pay the damages. Mishnah Hey, Hanota Schar Lios Rosa Bechoros. We're talking now about somebody. Can he get paid in order? He's a mumcha. Can he get paid in order to say when there is a mumkavua or not a mumkavua for a bechor? So Hanota Schar Lios Rosa Bechoros, somebody who's getting paid. in order to make this decision. Ain shochtim al piv, you can't rely on him. He has a conflict of interest. He's getting paid, and obviously the person who has that bechor is going to want to hear that it's a mum kavu, and you're paying somebody to make the decision. Conflict of interest. He may decide in your favor, say it's a mum kavu, because he's getting paid. So he can't get paid for making that decision. Elayim ken ayah mumcha ka'ayala biavna. The only exception would be if he's a real expert who has unbelievable ethics, like Ayala B'Yavna, that is the name of a person in Yavna, that Chazal said, Shehitiru lo chachamim lios notel arba yisaras b'beim adaka. Chazal said he's permitted to get paid. They set the amount for Isar when it was talking about a behema daka, a smaller animal, b'shisha b'gasa, and six for a larger animal, because it's harder to see the mum with a behema gasa, a larger animal, when you have to flip it over. It's more work, more exertion. But even with him who was unbelievably ethical and he would not change his psak because he was getting paid, still he would have to charge bein tamim, bein balmum, whether it was a tamim, whether it was a balmum, regardless of his decision, whether he said this is not a permanent mum or whether he says it is, they had to pay him in either way to ensure that there wasn't a conflict of interest, that he was only getting paid when he would say there is a mum kavua. Mishnah Dalet, Hanotel Scharo Ladum. We are continuing on this concept of getting paid for various mitzvahs. And now we have somebody who is getting paid in order to act as a judge. And we're actually talking about somebody who's getting paid from both sides. If you're getting paid from one side, certainly that's a problem. That's taking bribes. So we're talking about somebody who's a judge, even getting paid from both sides, dina b'talim, his judgments are null and void, invalid. And the language here is not dino. It's not talking about only on that specific judgment, but all of his judgments, even in other areas, are going to be null and void. Lahayid, somebody who's getting paid to act as a witness. Edusav, his testimonies, not only on this, but other testimonies are b'talim, are null and void. They're invalid. It's based on a pasuk that we have the drasha, ma'ani b'chinam afata b'chinam, just like Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Moshe the Torah is b'chinam without getting paid, so too all future generations, you can't be receiving payment for mitzvahs like teaching of Torah and being a judge and giving edus. That's a mitzvah as well. It has to be for free, not getting paid. The hazos ulekadesh, another two examples, somebody who is doing the hazah, which is spritzing the concoction, the water and the ash of the paraduma onto somebody who is tamei. Ulekadesh is the preparation of that water, and it actually has to be paired with mayim chayim, with flowing water into a kli. So somebody can't get paid for doing those mitzvahs as well. And if somebody would get paid, we would say upon that meimav mei me'ara, when he's spritzing that mechatas onto people, that water is cave water. In other words, it's not going to be valid. It's not going to be kosher. It needs to be spring water. It is cave water, not going to be valid when he spritzes on other people if he's paid. Va'afara efer mikle. And in addition, when the person would be creating, putting together the ingredients, we would say that his ashes, they're not proper ashes, and they are afer mikla, which are ashes from burnt wood. So it wouldn't be kosher anyway. So again, we see the concept for different examples, somebody acting as a judge, acting as a witness, sprinkling on people the mechatas, or preparing the mechatas, and all four of these, somebody getting paid would invalidate the mitzvah. Now we're going to have a couple exceptions to that, but not really. It's if you get paid is a problem, but making somebody whole for his losses or paying his expenses, that can be paid for. So an example is as follows, Im Haya Kohen. If any of the four mentioned examples are a Kohen, so the Kohen is judging, or he's acting as an aide, or he's spritzing, or he's preparing the mechatas, and he had to travel in an area that made him tame, so he's not able to eat the truma food or drink that he brought along with him, and because he's doing the mitzvah, he became tame. We have to make sure he has food. Ma'achilo, we're permitted to give him non-truma food, which he can eat even when he's tame. A mashka, we give him drink, non-truma drink. Vesacho, we give him oil to anoint himself. That's not truma. Here, we're not paying him. We are simply making him hold from losses and expenses, and that is permitted. Another example of this, Imaya Zaken, if the person doing any of these mitzvahs that can't get paid, he's elderly and he has to get to the place that he has to do the mitzvah, it's permitted to supply him transportation. Markiva ala chamor, you can take him on your donkey. That is not paying him. That would invalidate him. That is making sure that he's receiving expenses, etc., taking care of his his losses, that would be permitted. And in any case, in all of these examples, even though we said he can't get paid, that would mean that he can't get paid full price. But what is permitted, if it's no sin, lo scharo kapol, you can pay him as a worker. This is a concept called schar batala, that you can pay him not the full amount that he would receive at his job, his lost wages, but we can pay him a certain amount that he would agree to take an easier, less-paying job. So that's called schar batala, paying him something. Typical example is to pay him like a babysitter. So, but you know, it's a lot less. So to pay him to perform an easier, a mitzvah service, then we are allowed to pay him that schar batala, that lower amount. Mishnah Zion, continuing, and this is going to be the theme for the rest of the parak, somebody who's suspected of violating a halacha. Hechashut ala bechor. So if we have somebody who's suspected of violating the halachas of a bechor, for example, this the Bartanura says kohen achashut ba'atil mum bechor. We have a kohen and we're concerned that he is purposefully putting a defect on a bechor. He's self-interest. Is it for it to be a bal mum? Because then he can eat it immediately. He doesn't have to bring it as a korban. He gets more of the meat. Hechashut ala bechoras ein lochi mimenu besar tzvaim. We're not permitted, because we're concerned he violates the halachas of bechor, we're not allowed to buy meat that is deer meat, for at least it's marketed by the kohen as deer meat. Deer meat is red. It looks just like some bechor meat. So it could be like the meat of an eagle, of a calf. So he may be telling us that it's deer meat, but it could be really the meat from a bechor that he created the mumen. So we're not allowed to buy it from him. We're also not allowed to buy untanned hides from him, because it may have come from the bechor. Rabbi Eliezer Omer lochim imenu orash al nekeva. Rabbi Eliezer is of the view that you can take the hide from him if you can tell that it was from a female. The Tanakhama disagrees. He's of the view that maybe the coin doctored it up to look like a female hide, because there's a difference between the female hide and the male hide. But Rabbi Eliezer says you can buy a female hide, the hide from, untanned hide from the coin. Ve'ein lochim imenu tsemer miluban v'tzoy. Also, you're not allowed to buy certain byproducts of the animals. We're concerned it come from a bechor. And we're now going to see a distinction. If it's a type of item, for example, we're talking now about wool, that it's easy for him to work on, to take it off of the animal. Here we're talking about even if he cleaned the wool, but that's a very easy thing for this kohen to do. Small effort, not a lot of effort. Then we're concerned it could be from the bechor. You're not allowed to buy it from him. What you can buy from him is things that take more effort. He's not going to put in effort if it really comes from this bechor. That's where it really shouldn't have been a bal mum. He created the mum on it. So he's not going to put in a lot of effort into making something that he could get caught, because he could get caught with people finding out that it wasn't really a bal mum and he created the mum. So accordingly, things that take effort, we know if he put in the effort that it's not, it's really from a genuine bal mum. Aval lochim imenu tevi, which is spun wool and thread, so that takes a lot of effort. Ubigadim is talking about felt garments, certainly regular clothing, things that take some effort you would be permitted to buy from him. We don't have to be concerned that it's from a bechor that he created the mum for. Mishnah Ches, hechashut ala shvi. So if we have somebody, we are concerned he violates the halachas of Shemitah, for example, he plants during the Shemitah, or he sells the goods of the Shemitah, both in a violation of the Shemitah laws, we are also not permitted to buy from him flax. We would think that flax is not subject to the Shemitah laws, but truth be told, flax seeds are edible. Accordingly, flax is subject to the Shemitah laws, so you can't even buy from him flax. Vafilu serek, even if he combed it, combing is not a lot of effort, so we're concerned that he will put in that little bit of effort in order to sell it for a higher price. But what you can do is, if you put a lot of effort in, or a medium amount of effort in, that you can buy from him. Avalokhi mimenu tevi, if the linen, it's linen thread now, so he turned it into thread, va'arig, or it's, the Bartanur explains that it's like change of unspun flax. So if you put in some effort, then we're not concerned that he's taking it from Shvi's produce that he shouldn't be selling, and accordingly it would be permitted. So something that takes a little bit of effort, so some real effort, medium or a lot of effort, is permitted to purchase from him. Mishnah Ches, Chashud Liyot Mocher Tshuma, we're talking now about a kohen, and he is chashud to sell what he received as truma, so it's only permitted to be eaten by a kohen who is not tame, who is tahor. Neshem chulin, and he's telling people it's really chulin. He's trying to get a higher price for it. Ein lochim imenu afilu mayim umelach. Tivir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, says you can't even buy water and salt from him. Those are not subject to the halachas of truma, but nonetheless, we throw a penalty at him that we're not going to even buy things that aren't subject to the halachas of truma. We're not concerned that he's violating the halachas of truma when it comes to mayim u'melech. Don't buy it from him anyway. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is of the view, you can buy those things, the mayim u'melech, from him. Only things that are subject to the laws of truma, and we're talking about someone who's suspected of violating the laws, that he's selling it as chulin, don't buy that from him. But other food items, you can't. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol sheyesh bo zikas trumas u'maisras, ein lochi mimenu, anything that is connected to trumas u'maisras, don't buy from him, but other items you're permitted. Mishnah Yud, the last Mishnah in the Perek, gets into an interesting discussion. How about if we have somebody who is suspected in one body of halacha, do you have to suspect that he's violating another body of halacha? And as we'll see, as it plays out in our Mishnah, if somebody is suspected of violating something that is not a severe prohibition, for example, it's a derabanan, we are not going to be concerned that he's violating something more severe like a deraisa. Derabanans he can be lax on. We're not going to extrapolate from that he's going to violate something more severe. However, somebody who is violating something more severe, we are indeed going to suspect him that he is violating something less severe. If somebody is suspected of violating the Shemitah halachas during the Shemitah year, we are not going to be concerned that he's going to violate in the other years of the Shemitah cycle the halachas of Maaser, because Shemitah in certain ways is stricter than Maaser, and Maaser in certain respects is stricter than Shemitah. Accordingly, if one violates one, we don't have to extrapolate he's going to violate the other. And the same with the reverse. A chashur ala Maaser, eino chashur ala Shvi'is. If we have somebody we suspect that he's violating the halachas of Maaser, we're not going to suspect him of violating the halachas of Shemitah. Ha chashur al zeh ve'al zeh, chashur ala Taras. However, if we have somebody who violates either one or the other, both of those are Isurei Deoraisa, he violates either the Halacha Shemitah or the Halachas of Maestras, those are severe prohibitions, we are going to be concerned that he's going to violate the Halachas of Taharas. What Taharas is on a Deoraisa level, there's no requirement that people eat regular produce, Chulin produce, when it is pure, when it's Tahor. However, Chazal instituted that ideally people should be strict, that even Chulin, treat it like it's truma, that you should adhere to your chulin, even your chulin, you should eat it only when it is pure. So somebody who's a chaver, somebody who's strict about this, and he's trying to buy taharos, which is produce that is chulin, but it is not, it is pure, it's tahor, it's not tame, and we have this person who's advertising, and we know he's chashud either on shmita or masras, you cannot trust him to say that the chulin that he's selling is taharos, because this is only an inyan derabanan, an isra derabanan. But nonetheless, because he violates something that is stricter, either Shemitah or the Maaseros, we are going to suspect him that he's violating the Halachas Taharos as well. And in addition, along the same vein, V'yishu Chashur ala Taharos, if we have somebody who is Chashur, who's suspected of violating the Isurim of Taharos, he's selling something that really is Tame as Tahor, because that is only an Inyan that is Durabun, and we have to be concerned, because that's only a more lax prohibition, we don't have to be concerned that he's going to violate the most severe prohibitions of the Shemitah and the Maasras. And then in a related halacha, Zeaklal, there's a general principle, kol echashud ala davar lo dano velo meido. If somebody is suspected of violating one area in halacha, even if he's not getting paid, he has no personal gain from it, he's not permitted to act as a judge when it comes to a case in that area, and also he can't act as a witness because he is suspected of personally violating those isurim in halacha. He's not permitted to be involved on that professional level, either as a judge or testifying when it comes to those types of halacha.